It's the weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio at yahoosportsradio.com. And you know us sports fans? Yeah, we like other things other than sports. Like cars and automotive stuff. Welcome to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing, now on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Let's put the key in the ignition, shall we? And fire up the engines.
From the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Welcome in. It is Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Another Saturday, another week talking about the great world of automotives. Mr. Mike Herzing, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, big guy. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. There's a lot of things to get to, including your review of a little mini you drove around all week, and then we'll get to some news involving Jeep, truck news involving...
Yeah, now this is cool. I knew it was going to happen, but they finally actually officially announced it, and that's cool.
So we'll do that in a segment, and we'll also hear from some of our listeners who have got automotive questions for you as to what they should be doing with their cars. But we're going to begin talking a little bit about the car and truck of the year that has been awarded here, and it was awarded at the North American International Auto Show. It's the...
Detroit Auto Show is what some people always call it. You know, I'm pretty old school.
And now this comes with a little bit of controversy. Now, I don't think many people are going to argue about the car of the year. The 2016 Honda Civic, the North American Car of the Year, is a look, Hondas are always in there. They're always, you know, incredibly reliable. And the Civic has a kind of a new look to it. They've spiced it up a little bit, changed some things up inside of it. So that's not the controversy.
Now, to win this award for this thing every year, and it has to be a significant change on the vehicle. Now, just because it's a great vehicle and they changed it a little bit, it won't win. Okay, it has to be a total change, and it really is a new sheet of paper. And it was up against the total change Chevy Malibu. Now, if you looked at the Malibu, you would never dream it was the Malibu. Okay,
right.
And it was also up against the Mazda MX-5 Miata, and that's an awesome vehicle too. So that was a really tough choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the Civic is a great car. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, so that wins, but the next category is where the controversy comes in, and that's for the North American Truck / Utility of the Year, and the 2016 Volvo XC90 took it home. Now, I think we've mentioned this when the nominations came out, that the only truck that was nominated real truck for the Truck of the Year was the Nissan Titan. And, well, it did not win. What are your feelings about what I think is a crossover winning the Truck of the Year award?
It's done it before. It happened lots of times. And it chaps my butt every single time. And I just, you know, of course, the journalists that are on the panel are 54 journalists. And they're from U.S. and Canada. And some of them are pretty old school. Not many of them, I don't know if any are actually from Texas. And or from many of the states that here, most of them are up on the East Coast, and I don't know that they really are into trucks. Okay, and a lot of these guys and gals, you know, I know them. I know lots of them that are on the board, and I almost did it got on there, but it was just something I really couldn't do. But be honest with you, it's just wrong. They need to make a new category. Okay, they need to split them up because they're just so different, and what people look at on trucks. And what you look at on SUVs are just, it's such a different market, a different customer, a different vehicle, a different everything. I think it's wrong on about every level.
Let me ask you a little bit about what Volvo's strategy has been. And it's been a little controversial because they're focusing on switching entirely to a four-cylinder engine.
Yeah.
In fact, according to the release, it's the highest performance version of the XC90 is a plug-in hybrid.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the engine changes and what – because, you know, this is not a big, powerful, brawny truck here. This is a four-cylinder that's won the award.
I've driven the vehicle. It's really cool. It's really a nice vehicle. I mean, I'm not wrong as far as crossover. Go, this is a really good one. Don't get me wrong. It's really great. And it has a lot of power. It really is. You know, one thing nice about a hybrid, you know, with that electric power plant along with the gas, you know, with electric motor, you always have immediate torque. It's just there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a lot of low-end power. And I'm not arguing with that at all because it is a great vehicle. It's safe. You know, we were kind of wondering what's going to happen with Volvo because they have, you know, their owners are Chinese, Chinese-owned company. And so they've really made a lot of changes and things like that. So I didn't know how the Swedes were going to deal with the Chinese and vice versa. Chinese had, you know, Swedes had the ability and the wherewithal to build this vehicle, and the Chinese had the cash. So, you know, that works. And but you know, it's really a nice vehicle, and I like the four cylinder because it's not a, it's not that big of a vehicle. It's pretty small. It's a midsize vehicle, and it runs fine. It really does. And I think you're going to see more of that. This turbo, you know, four cylinders and turbo six cylinders. Yes, I was in a Ford Expedition, which is a big vehicle, especially the extended version, and it had a turbo, you know, V6 twin turbo, and it ran great. I don't know how it's going to last with, you know, 150 or 200,000 miles on it, but
right.
But I think it's, we're going to see that more and more. I mean, gee, they make an F-150 with a 2.7 V6.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Matt Perrott with you as we continue on a Saturday morning. And what's interesting about Volvo, and you mentioned the fact that it's now a Chinese-owned company, but they, with this new vehicle line, their new engines, Volvo has always sold, but I was surprised that because of their change in philosophy that they set a record last year, a global record last year for sales. People really like these cars.
Well, yeah, they do, but also don't forget they're about to tank. I mean, we were worried about Volvo going out of business.
Yeah.
Because they were really stagnant. They didn't know what to do. They were, you know, some of the looks were a little bit, you know, long in the tooth. They just really didn't have any, you know, I don't know, inspiration. And they've really turned it around. It's a great vehicle. I mean, they had a couple vehicles that were, I mean, believe it or not, Volvo makes some hot cars.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They really do. And they've always been a little weird. As far as a technician goes, they're hard to work on. They're really not fun to work on. You, it's like most of the cars in the world, and then there's Volvo. And there used to be Saab. You know, they were all a little bit weird.
And more expensive to fix.
And a little more expensive to fix. And a little bit just different. All the software and the technology was just a little bit different. And a lot of things, if you're at an independent shop, you have to take it to the dealer. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff. But it's a good vehicle, and it really is safe. It's a safe vehicle.
Let me tell you a quick story about what happens now with Sweden. So we mentioned that China owns this company now.
Right.
Well, the Swedish manufacturers in Volvo have created, and I bet you know this, Mike, but I guarantee you the audience does not, because
yeah.
I had no idea about this. So if you are willing to buy your vehicle in Sweden,
uh-huh.
meaning if you're going to go to Sweden to buy a Volvo,
right.
Volvo will pay for your flight from the United States to Sweden. They will put you up in a 4-star hotel. They will allow you to walk in, and literally you can a la carte pick your vehicle, and they will ship the vehicle back to the States for you.
Wow.
If you're buying the car at Sweden. Now, you have to have your financing or all of your money in place. My aunt and uncle just did this. So my whole family went over to Italy for an extended vacation, and because one of my uncles is involved in supermarkets and he has a lot of connections over in Italy. And so they went and got a villa and they stayed for 2 weeks, and they corresponded with, they flew over to Sweden. They went and bought the car. Now they've got their own money. So they go in there and buy the car outright. So you're not going to finance it in Sweden, but if you have your financing or you have enough money to buy the car outright, my uncle is a doctor, so he can buy the car outright. But so they will literally take care of all the expenses if you're willing to buy the car in Sweden. And in the States, there's packages, right? Not in Sweden. If you don't like what they offer, if you don't like the color of the interior, or you don't like the sunroof or whatever, everything on the vehicle is completely customizable if you buy it in Sweden.
Oh, so you can pick it out. Yeah, and you get the U.S. version with the U.S. emissions.
Right, yes. They will do everything you need for it to be a U.S. car, because they're going to ship it to the United States. But they'll pay for all of that if you are willing to buy the car actually in Sweden.
Well, you know, I thought that just as cool as going to, you know, to Bowling Green, Kentucky, and taking out your Corvette and signing the engine. I mean, that's the other deal. Taking delivery of your Corvette in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and having them, you know, hand deliver it and then drive it home, and that, or going there and watching them build the engine or helping them build the engine.
Oh.
That's cool too. Now you can do that with Mercedes too.
Really?
Or you can go and into a Mercedes and actually drive it around Europe and get to know it, and then just they'll pack it back up for you and ship it over to the U.S. And
so neat.
All kinds of cool things, and it's like. For you, though, it's, I know a guy, you know, my guy knows another guy who's going to, you know, take care of it.
But I heard of that. That blew my hair back when my aunt and uncle told me that story, that because they want you to pay Swedish taxes.
I didn't think about that.
That's what they want. They want you to pay the taxes in Sweden on buying the vehicle in Sweden. So that's where the whole incentive comes through, where the government helps to subsidize that program to help. to help pay for those people to come overseas to buy the Volvo in Sweden, and thus they get the Swedish taxes.
How brutal are they, I wonder?
They're not – I don't think they're great, but they love the opportunity to customize the vehicle. They thought that was the coolest thing in the world, to not have to buy an off-the-rack type of car and to get what they wanted exactly for the vehicle and then have it be shipped. It doesn't cost them a dime. They get shipped over for free. So they took it and drove it from Sweden all the way down to Italy. So, all right, much more to come here. It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Round Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Perrault.
Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. Matt Perrault with you here on a Saturday morning on Yahoo Sports Radio. Continuing with our automotive conversations, we just hit on the North American Car and Truck of the Year. Now let's talk, Mike, a little bit about, well, yes, owner loyalty, which is always a really big deal. And
yeah, it is.
GM, General Motors, has taken the crown from Ford for customer loyalty, the most loyal customers. This is a pretty big deal for GM, I'm sure.
Yeah, it really is. Well, actually, a lot of it has to do with GM's, you know, new truck lineup. They've just done so much better on their trucks this last year. And, you know, IHS Automotive, which has this 20th annual, they've been doing it for 20 years, Automotive Loyalty Awards. And at the Automotive World Congress, they announced it. And, boy, GM is really, they're excited about this. This is a big deal. They beat out Ford, who had the crown for 6 years. And, That's a big deal. Customer loyalty is huge, especially in the truck market. You know, it's so hard. I mean, why do you think Toyota and Nissan has had so many trouble breaking into the big truck market? Because people grow up, you know, driving a Chevy or driving a Ford or driving a Dodge, or now they call them Rams. But that's how they were. Why do you buy a Chevy? Because my dad had a Chevy.
Right.
My grandpa had a Chevy.
Right.
And the same thing with Ford. The company has to really screw up. Or actually the dealer more likely has to screw up and tick somebody off for them to go and look at another brand. You know what I mean? Really?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Serious. And I've had people go, well, my truck blew up. It really is not a good one. But it's okay. They're coming out with a new model. I'm sure the new model will be better than this one. They don't think about changing brands. But Chevy getting that thing is a really big deal. And the Ford brand was the only one to reach a loyalty rate of more than 60% in the model year.
Yeah.
In 2010, and that was huge in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this is really a big deal. You know, and Tesla won an award, the most improved car conquest percentage. Now, if they don't know what conquest means, that means that you stole somebody's customer. You know, you're a Chevy customer, and you're driving a Ford now, and you went to a Ford dealership somehow or other, and you took that customer away, you know.
Right.
That's what that means. And, you know, the company that won that right now, the conquest, is Jeep. Unseated,
yeah.
Audi in 2015, and they have the highest percentage of conquest buyers. 27.8% of their buyers coming in walk into a Jeep dealership and have never owned one before. And, you know, that's pretty cool. So if you can get new people to come in and buy your vehicles and then keep most of your other customers, You're doing pretty darn well.
Yeah, and the Automotive Loyalty Award, just so you guys know, it's based on an analysis of 17.5 million new vehicle registrations during the 2015 model year. So that's an opportunity to look at who is registering vehicles once they're buying them. And for 2015, the model year, more than 8.2 million consumers returned to the market for a new vehicle. That number is expected to hit 8.5 million coming up this year. So people are buying cars at record numbers, and they're expected to hit a peak in 2017 of 8.6 million consumers buying new vehicles. So the car market is really hot right now, and if you're keeping your customers – I mean, if you're General Motors, this is something you go to Wall Street with, and this is a gigantic win for them,
right,
to be able to have this.
Now, for General Motors, this is the overall. This is cars and trucks. But actually, on the truck size, for the full-size pickup, the Ford F-Series won. For mid-size pickup, the Chevy Colorado was actually won customer loyalty. Now, the non-luxury mid-size was, believe it or not, how about this one? The Hyundai Sonata.
Yeah, that's a little surprising.
Customers are very, very loyal. And the non-luxury crossover was, and this one doesn't surprise me, Subaru Outback. people that, you know, but people that own them,
I know,
love them.
The Subaru cult drives me crazy.
I know, but it's not.
They
like
all live in Maine. They're all maniacs. Literally everybody in Maine
or Colorado.
Everybody in Maine, it's worse in Maine. I've been to Colorado. At least there's trucks in Colorado.
That's true. And Jeeps. Mid-sized SUV is the Jeep Grand Cherokee, of course,
which is great.
Once you've owned one. You know, and then if they split it up differently, you'd probably see that the Jeep Wrangler would probably be the same way. I mean, Jeep customers are that way. They just, once you've owned one, it's hard not to want one again.
It's so interesting, too, because the type of person that buys a Jeep, it's like you can almost like see them in your head. And in the same way for a Subaru Outback person, I mean, it's just boring. I mean, it's safe and boring. Volvo used to be like that. Volvos used to be like the big box car.
Oh, right? I know.
You know, safe and boring,
a
right?
A beige Volvo.
Yeah, but Volvo is at least adapted and changed. Now they have some sedans that are like, you know, jet red and look really neat. And they try to sexy up their image. Subaru is not. Subaru is just like a wet dog. They're so safe. When we had our daughter, we drove literally four different Subarus because of how safe they were. We knew we needed to get a safe vehicle, and I couldn't tell you, I couldn't hate those cars more than I do.
I know. It's like whenever you see somebody going slow in the fast lane, it's always a Prius.
Yeah, or a Subaru Outback. It's always Subaru Outbacks, and they literally drive them forever because they stay on the road forever.
I know.
Oh my gosh! It's the only vehicle that causes me to have an emotional response. I mean, a negative emotional response.
I'm that way with a Prius owner because they're always slow me down. The BMW owners always cut me off or cut in front of me and make me crazy.
Yeah, see, I like them though because they're aggressive and fast. Like I am. I like BMW owners. I like Mercedes owners. Jeep owners I love.
Yeah.
Truck owners for the most part I don't really have had that big of a problem with as long as the truck isn't obnoxiously loud. But Subaru Outback owners, they always have dogs in the back, and they're always on their way to something that
And they wear flannel shirts.
Yes. They all wear L.L. Bean clothing, and they all have, like, you know, galoshes on.
We're
going
to get letters, okay?
That's
Matt
fine.
Matt Perrault,
I don't
Vegas,
like,
Nevada.
I don't like Subaru Outbacks and Subaru Outback owners. My uncle and aunt are one of them. They live in Maine, and they drive an Outback like everybody else in Maine driving an Outback. It's like they should just sell cars in Maine. And they would literally be able to stay in business.
Yeah,
everyone drives a car in Maine.
They're selling records now. Also, you wonder what's going to change on them now that Toyota owns a quarter of them, or you know, a half of them, whatever.
Right.
You know. So, but who knows? That they've had them for a while, a couple of years, and haven't been a whole lot of changes. They don't want to mess them. It's a great.
How about a little technology? Just a little. Yes. Just a little
They're
tech package.
Better.
Just
better.
A little. How about Bluetooth? Just like get
they
me like a legit Bluetooth.
They
don't. It is. I drove them all. They're all like. I'm shocked there are CD players inside of them.
They're nice cars. I like them.
You like Outbacks?
Yeah, I do. I like all the Subarus.
I like the four wheel drive little off road car that they've got.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, well, they used to. They don't really have it too much anymore. You're thinking about the old. The Brat.
No. They have a four-wheel drive. It's a four-wheel drive car.
XV Crosstrek.
Yeah.
Like that one. Yeah, I like that one, too.
I like – and the wheels look cool, and the design is neat. I like – that's the only car I actually – but my wife said, you're not buying that.
Like, you'll get in trouble.
We're not buying that.
You'll have the L.L. Bean clothing.
She didn't want something that small. She wanted – so – We went and we love our Equinox. We could not love that car more than, and that's what we were looking at, the same type of, you know, safety type of car and SUV and space and size, and we love it.
You probably got a better deal on it.
It was actually no, because we got a couple of bells and whistles on it, and we ended up buying a 2013 at the end of 14, I think it was, or something along those lines. We got a good deal because it was end of the year. We bought it in December.
Yeah.
And we got a really nice deal on it, and it's not a fully loaded, but it's got a lot of bells and whistles on it and a lot of really cool and unique things on it. And big fan. I like that.
Well, you've got a kid, so you know, when you've got a young kid, it's going to destroy the car anyway. So you might as well not buy your dream car because it's going to get, you know, cookies.
Amen to that.
And you know, oh my gosh. Yeah. When I had my boys in it, there was like, I looked in the back seat and I'd look and go, oh my God.
Brutal.
You know, I'd just like, oh. You know, there's just too much junk in there.
Absolutely. It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. I'm Matt Perrault here on Yahoo Sports Radio. We're coming back. Mike's got a review for you, Mini drivers. If you want to know what that new Mini's like, Mike will give you that review next year on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yahoo. You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Round Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Perrault.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. I'm Matt Perrault here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Saturday morning, all you gearheads, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. You can get the car, get the show on podcast on podcastarena.com. Podcastarena.com. Just look for Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. And, well, we got some wheels to talk about that you were sporting around there,
yeah.
Mike. A new Mini to talk about.
Yeah, this, you know, they've got a couple different Minis. You know, for a while they just had the Mini, and then they had... Then they had the Mini four-door, mm-hmm. and the hatchback, and that's a little bit bigger. And there was then they came out with another Mini called the Clubman.
Right.
And I kind of was like, oh, man. It's one of those I wasn't really excited to get it because I wasn't really sure about it. And I got it, and I was like, okay, it's kind of a big Mini. So wait a minute. It's a Mini, but it's a big Mini. So it's kind of redundant here. But after the advent for a week, I really liked it. I liked it. You know, it's a little bit priced a little bit high, I think. But it's a very cool car. And for people that like these European-type cars, they're gonna love it. I mean, what it is, you've seen the Mini Cooper. Then they came out yep. with the four-door version that was the hatchback, okay? Now, this one has a 4-inch longer wheelbase, and it's about 3 inches wider than the four-door, okay? So this is the bigger Mini. So it's, you know, maxi Mini, whatever you want to call it. It's called the Clubman, okay? This is it's a little bit bigger than the Volkswagen Golf GTI. How about that?
Okay.
So, and here's the deal. You can actually use the back seat, and Good. It has a little bitty spot in the back where you can actually put stuff in it. And it's got these cool little doors that look like they came out of my old 72 Ford van that you just open up, you know? And they open up side to side, not a hatchback. And they're kind of cool, okay? And they're comfortable. This car is way more comfortable than I thought it was going to be. Has the thigh support and all these adjustments for the seats. And I'm like, wow, I could actually fit in here. Anybody can actually fit in the car easily and go on a longer trip, and it fits better. Now, here's one thing about that 4 or 5 inches of wheelbase. It doesn't bounce you around like the other Mini does. It doesn't beat you up. Okay, so on the road, it's actually... decent. It's actually fun on the highway. There is a disadvantage, though.
What?
Well, they make two engines for it. One of them is the little 3-cylinder turbo, 134 horsepower. No, you don't want that. It's just too much car for it. Now, mine had, because it was the S model, 189 horsepower, 4-cylinder. Okay, it runs pretty darn good. Matter of fact, it has three modes. It has a green mode, the mid mode, and then the sport mode. The sport mode, you're going to find yourself going way faster than you're thinking. You look down, you think I'm doing 65 or 70. I'm doing 60. Look down, you're doing 85. Okay. Holy crap. You have to slow down. You find yourself going a lot faster than it feels. Now, the Mini, the smaller one, it feels like you're going fast because you're like in a go-kart, right?
Yeah.
This one, it doesn't feel that way. You're hauling butt. I look down one time. I'm on the freeway. I look down. I'm doing 100. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm speed limit was 75. But I look down, I'm doing 100 or more. Runs great, has all the bells and whistles. I mean, this thing has everything you want. It has all the little cool toggle switches on the dash and all that other stuff. But like I said, had heated seats. It had all the – it even had vents for the second row, AC vents and heater vents. The back seats would fold down. Plenty of room for the dog. And adults could fit in the back seat and take a trip. It's amazing. Okay?
See, the thing about a Mini, and this is – my philosophy, it's the ultimate single city person's car.
Yeah.
But if you are a single person living in a big city and it's because it's quick, it's nimble, it's big enough, and it can get into any parking space you need to get into.
But this one's bigger and it's not quite as nimble, but it's still pretty darn nimble and it hauls butt and it's fun. But all of a sudden you have room to carry stuff and people. I carried three people all the way across East Texas.
Oh, wow.
And that's so it has all the neat dash, you know, the round circle on the dash. It did have something weird. It had this heads-up display. You push this button, and this little piece of plastic shoots up right this side of the windshield. And all of a sudden, you had this heads-up display in there.
Yeah.
But it was kind of distracting, unlike the heads-up display that usually bounces off the windshield on a lot of cars. This one was very distracting. To focus on this one, it was kind of closer to you than the windshield. So you had to actually look down to focus on it and then look up at the road and look down. It was, I didn't like it at all. I actually turned it off and flipped it, you know, let it sink back down.
Okay.
And I didn't like that at all. But the rest of the vehicle, I loved it. Now, that's all cool. But mine was fairly loaded, but it was over $36,000 too.
Wow.
Okay. And if you get them really loaded, they're up to 38. Now, it starts in the 20s, you know, like 24, 25 for the basic one. But, you know, this is a really nice car. You're going to have to really like it to do it. But, I mean, it has a Harman Kardon stereo, which is awesome. It handles great. It stops great. It's not real noisy on the highway. This drives like a bigger car. But then when you want to zip around, it drives like a small car. You know, it has all these neat features. The fit and finish was really good. No squeaks or rattles. I could fit in it easily. It had all this high-tech stuff. It had 18-inch wheels, panoramic sunroof, had these giant sunroofs and stuff like that. Had all the cool, had great headlights and fog lights and LEDs, and it was just great. I mean, really fun car. It's a great car to borrow. You know, how's that? Fuel economy wasn't all that wonderful. I mean, 32 on the highway, 22 in the city. You'd think it'd get a lot better. But this one doesn't, because this one's the higher horsepower.
Right.
But 0 to 60 and, you know, 8-point. Mine was a 6-speed transmission, manual transmission. But if you're looking for a cool car, wow, this is fun. A lot of fun car. But I don't know how practical it is, but, boy, is it fun. check out the Mini Cooper Clubman, folks.
Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. I'm Matt Perlt here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Okay, so let's get into some questions from the audience. Some questions that people have sent in because they're wondering how to do some things. And this one comes from Kari. And he asks, I have a 2002 Honda Civic. My girlfriend slammed the passenger door, and the window fell down and broke into a million pieces. It happens to a lot of us, unfortunately, especially in older cars. She's going to pay for the parts to fix it, but which junkyard should I go to for a part like that, and what parts do I need to do this for myself? I guess the question is generically saying, not the actual junkyard, but is there a specific junkyard you would look to target when you're talking about windows?
Well, what he's really talking about is the window regulator broke, and the windows dropped down, and it broke is what happened. Okay, well, window regulators are basically the mechanism that lets your window crank up and down. And so while you can buy a glass at a wrecking yard, it's not going to save you that much money. But the window regulator is something that will fail, okay?
Yeah.
And wasn't it the driver's side?
He says, it was passenger side got slammed into.
Yeah, and so obviously when it's that old, that car was a 2002, I think.
Yep.
Okay, when it's that
Civic.
Old... You go out and buy a used one like that, all the plastic pieces in there off of a wrecking yard are going to be old and brittle, and they're going to break just like yours did, okay? Mm. So you're better off going to get an aftermarket one. You know, you can go to Rock Auto or one of those kind of places online, and you can buy the parts pretty darn cheap. They're really not expensive at all. But that's one of those things when you go to a wrecking yard and you buy that kind of stuff, the plastic parts and some of the pieces in there will be so old that when you get it from wrecking yard, it's only going to last not very long, you know, when you put it on. So
what about buying a whole new door from a wrecking yard?
Yeah, how heavy a door is. And then obviously then you have to find one and then you have to paint it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that. No.
Because I remember I had a problem like that where my window fell through. It was a power window. It was on an old Nissan Maxima.
Yep.
And getting into the door to fix that window was... Oh. Really, really laborsome. I mean,
that's not bad.
No?
They have a Honda car. It's not bad at all.
Okay, because I remember going like, the guy actually just said, if you can find a door, it's actually just easier. The
doors are too heavy and too hard to line up nowadays.
Ah, okay.
That door probably weigh 120 pounds.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's true. and so your recommendation is go online, buy the parts, the newer parts, and then...
Buy an aftermarket part and be much better than...
And have somebody do it for you?
Yeah, or just do it yourself. You can get a YouTube video on everything in the world nowadays. You can put it on. It's not a problem.
My gosh. That would scare the heck out of
me. Oh, it's easy.
Really?
Yeah. It's not bad at all.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know if I'd go down that
far. Probably take 40 minutes.
Baloney.
Yep. Or take it to your local high school and have one of their kids do it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
free labor. There you go. Yeah. So Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. We got a cool story next involving Jeep. They are entering a brand new category, and they have announced it's been long rumored, but it's now on the table. A truck is coming from Jeep.
You're listening to Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Back to the Quick and Wrong Studios.
And back to your host with Mike Herzing. Here is Matt Perrault.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Matt Perrault with you. Our segment here being brought to you by our great friends at Jeep. And that's where we go, Mike. It's been long rumored. It's been long thought up. But now Jeep has finally made the announcement that they will break in a Wrangler pickup by 2019.
Oh, yeah. They've had, you know, so many of these the concept vehicles. And they're, you know, they looked so well finished that you know that, hey, this is not a concept vehicle. This is what it's going to happen, and they've shown the pictures, and there's been so many of them. They just didn't have the production capacity. I mean, they couldn't even build enough Wranglers as it is, period. So, you know, they couldn't bring in something new, but now they've decided that they're going to do it, and wow, it looks nice.
It looks gorgeous. Now, just from a market standpoint, you look at the new Honda Ridgeline, the new Toyota Tacoma, the new Chevy Colorado. We've seen that the Nissan Frontier might be going down, and Ford might be popping up here with the Ranger. What's the allure? What's the attraction to the midsize truck market?
Well, the full-size truck market has just gotten so darn expensive. I mean, it's hard to get a full-size truck that's you know, loaded up for less than $50,000, hardly, you know, and so I was looking at the Chevy Colorado the other day, and you could load it up like crazy, and it's only 40. I hate to say only 40. That just kind of takes my breath away. But here you are. I mean, a lot of people love the Wrangler, and they love the four-door Wrangler, but they just wish it would just had a little bit of a truck capacity to carry a few things. You know, maybe you want to put your dirt bike in the back or your ATV or something, and you have your Wrangler, you know, so this kind of the best of both worlds. I mean, Hummer was there with the H3T.
I was just going to ask you.
And they had the market, and they just were there, but they didn't have the right power plant, and they were ready on the way out.
Because it looks like a Hummer.
It does. Well, you know, they sure do. They really do. And but I know that Mike Manley, who's actually a very good friend of mine, and I see him actually running the actual company, Chrysler, soon. But he told me years, you know, a couple years ago they wanted to do it. Whether they could or not, it's a different story. Now the Honda Ridgeline, that's going to be for a different customer. That's front wheel drive. It's
okay.
It's a transverse engine. It's going to be a unibody. It's not a real truck. Although it's a nice vehicle. Tacoma, that's a great vehicle. Mm-hmm. Colorado's nice. Canyon's great. Yes, the Frontier is going to be redesigned, and it's going to be right there. And the Ranger is coming back. And so that's going to be a whole other segment because they're really not small trucks, okay? They're mid-sized trucks. And it's going to be a really neat market. Just give it about two more years. And
yeah,
it's going to be great.
According to the release, it looks like they're going to build it at their Toledo, Ohio plant.
Yes.
And they're expecting it to come potentially onto the market being built in either 2017 or 2018, which is so quick. I mean, I'm really, that's like tomorrow, really. I mean, that's really
well, not the 2017 year model, but going to be, yeah, probably 2017 for 2018, yeah.
Right, and that still is
You're
soon.
Right, it's only about a year and a half away,
I mean,
years away.
Yeah, that's really, really soon. And
but,
I mean, what do you think the differences will be? I mean, will it simply just be the same Jeep Wrangler, except
yeah.
It has a truck bed
that's
in the back?
That's actually going to be it. It's going to be extended to probably 6 or 8 or 10. The wheelbase probably be 6 or 8 inches longer, 10 inches longer, and it'll probably just have a small bed on it, you know, probably 4 foot. And just enough to put a few things in there and get you out to where you need to go because it's such a – it'll also lengthen the wheelbase of the Wrangler, which is kind of handy. You know, that'll probably make it a little bit better for towing and a little bit better on the highway.
Right.
And that'll be probably a little bit better for the vehicle, too. Make it drive a little bit different. We'll change the driving dynamics of the actual vehicle.
Well, that's very cool. We're very happy for our friends at Jeep to be able to roll that out. Looking forward to seeing that once it does hit the marketplace. All right, let's squeeze in a couple of more questions before we wrap up Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing. This comes from Lee. He says, I want to boost my 2006 Dodge Caliber's performance. Any idea how to do that? And would a turbo help? You're not a big fan of turbos, are you?
Well, no, a turbo would probably help it, but he'd have to do so much work on it. Caliber, to be honest with you, he'd be better off selling it and buying one of the SRT Calibers or just selling it and setting it on fire. I mean, not to say setting it on fire, but I mean, honestly, a Caliber was probably not one of their best models.
Okay.
You know? You'd be better off maybe buying a Challenger or something like that and working on that, even if it's a six-cylinder Challenger. Caliber was probably something that they'd probably rather forget.
Yeah.
They probably wish they had never. It's kind of like a Chevy Cobalt.
So you mean, you want to get rid of it?
Yeah, I would just not spend that money on that. You spend more money than the car's worth, no offense.
Okay.
Because put a turbo on, you have to do so many other engine modifications, it's not really worth it.
Okay, so this next one comes from Alan. It says, my wife is a small woman, about 5 foot tall.
Yeah.
When she drives her Toyota, she sits with the seat moved all the way forward because that's the way she was taught. Is there a good argument I can use to get her to move it back a little bit? She looks like a NASCAR driver. The way she grips the steering wheel, it's somewhat embarrassing.
I've seen people where they're just right up against the steering wheel. You ever
it's
seen that?
Straight dangerous because of the airbag.
Right, because the airbag will not inflate unless you're closer than 12 or 14 inches, probably 12 inches to the steering wheel through the airbag, it won't inflate correctly. So you've got to, there's the argument right there. You've got to stay 12 inches from the airbag to have it inflate.
It'll break your face.
Well, it just won't open up right.
Yeah, it'll be
and
really
so,
damaging,
you know,
and dangerous.
It's going to hit you in the chest and just push you back and not really do its job. So that's it. I know a lot of people are short, and that's how some people have been trained to drive.
Right.
And in some cases that. But, I mean, if you lean your shoulders back, pin them a bit back against the seat, and you take your wrist and you put it over the steering wheel, you should be right there with right there your wrist joint. That should fit right over the top of the wheel. That's kind of where you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing here on Yahoo Sports Radio. I'm Matt Perrault. Get the podcast on podcastarena.com. Take a look and look for Mike Herzing's wonderful mug on podcastarena.com, and you can listen to this program if you missed any portion of it. Mr. Herzing, it's always a pleasure. Look forward to catching up next week.
All right, big guy. We'll see you next week.
It's Let's Talk Wheels with Mike Herzing right here on Yahoo Sports Radio.